It's time for the local Beat with O'Brien, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. And as we do each and every Wednesday morning here on the WEOL Morning Show, let's go to the hotline and welcome in Dave O'Brien from the Chronicle Telegram. Dave, how are you doing today?
Good, Rocco. Thank you.
Busy as always, one would imagine, Dave. And I wanted to start with a story from Tuesday's Chronicle Telegram talking about a new proposed roundabout in North Ridgeville. Now, just looking at the pictures and kind of the shape of this thing, it's a bit unorthodox on the surface here. But tell me some more about this, Dave. What's up with this roundabout, or proposed roundabout, I should say, over there in North Ridgeville?
Well, this roundabout is specifically designed to fix some of the problems with traffic at the intersections of Stony Ridge Road, Mills Road, and Avalon Drive. Now, North Ridgeville Council has already approved funding, to pay for enough of the engineering plans and specs on the project. That came through in August of 2020. It was a $110,000 grant from NOPEC. And basically, there's a need here to work on the project also in cooperation with the city of Avon. So Avon kind of starts the Mills Road area, like sort of on the border between the two cities. North Ridgeville would oversee all of the construction of this particular roundabout. Now, there were supporters, detractors, there were both people on both sides of this issue. A few more detractors than supporters showed up at this meeting. But basically, proponents were saying that studies show that a roundabout is the safest and cheapest option for addressing, the problems of congestion at this particular intersection. Mayor Kevin Corcoran said that roundabouts are basically designed to slow traffic down, especially when you're coming around curves. There's a couple curves there in that particular area. So he said as people enter and exit the roundabout, they're going to be going slower than they normally would on that road. Residents of a development, the Avalon Drive area, were less convinced, per the story that my colleague Dylan Reynolds wrote, with resident Gary Crumley saying that roundabouts have their places at four-way intersections that don't impact developments. And he was one of seven people who had concerns or were detractors of the particular project. James Smolik, who's chairperson of the Planning Commission for the city, spoke in support of the project, and there was an additional email that was received prior to the meeting by council to support the project. Smolik said it's a win-win in terms of a roundabout for improving that intersection, and that traffic on Avalon Drive, entering development there is a whole other issue. So there's no real financial toll that the city knows about just yet. They don't have a final dollar figure on this. They're going to be looking for public grants to help towards the project. And the legislation is now returning to the whole of council. And there was a 5-1 vote in this particular committee meeting on Monday night. The lone dissenting vote was by Councilwoman Holly Swank. So basically, you have this whole plan basically to fix a lot of traffic problems, and roundabouts are of some concern to people in the area. I know, I think we've spoken about them before. Mm-hmm. Elyria and some of the other cities in the area have decided to kind of dip their toe in the waters here and see if roundabouts are an option for folks. And Elyria was planning one on Broad Street, headed down to the back of Chestnut Commons on the connector road there. That came out of the project. That's no longer involved in the project. There were some issues there that engineers decided a roundabout just wasn't necessarily needed at that particular intersection. So, folks, I can understand are concerned about driving on roundabouts. They do seem to slow traffic down. They do seem to cut down on the number of accidents. And if you learn to use them correctly, which is not a very difficult thing, for my staff. But I can understand how folks might be a little intimidated.
Sure.
Sometimes you come up on an unknown or an untested roundabout on your travels. It is a little intimidating. So I do understand that kind of feeling as well.
Yeah, it definitely can be, just because they're so uncommon here. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure Europe just puts those things in all willy-nilly, right? Like traffic issue in Belgium, boom, roundabout. Like they just throw those things everywhere. So I guess we're starting to see some more of the same here in the States now, especially here in Lorain County. So we'll keep an eye on that proposed roundabout over there in North Ridgeville for sure. So thanks for the insight on that one there, Dave. Another one I wanted to talk about here with you this morning regarding Wellington Police looking to solve some staffing issues. A number of places and employers are short-staffed right now. That includes our local police departments and now Wellington trying to come up with some resolutions to help solve that. So what's the latest here?
Yeah, so Chief Tim Barfield of the Wellington Police Department was speaking with his village council's finance committee on Monday night, and said, in his 41 years on the job, officers would work basically as many hours as they were asked to work, no problem. But he told finance committee that people just don't want to work like they used to work. Now it's based on wherever the best money is, wherever the best hours are. A lot of times in larger cities, larger cities are pulling a lot of officers out of the suburbs, out of the smaller towns, and into their ranks. And Barfield is seeing some of the consequences of that. He said he'd like to have 10 or 11 full-time officers. Lorain, Elyria, North Ridgeville, Amherst, all larger than that. But this is going to cost Wellington to convince people to, either come out of the police academy fresh into the job and take on the responsibility of working in a small town, maybe for less than like a larger city could offer if you're coming straight out of, say, Lorain County Community College Police Academy. There were some hires a couple years ago, but policing is one of those things that the labor market affects that as well. I mean, there's a significant amount of training that has to go into that. You may have to move or have a longer commute depending on where you can find a job. You have to maintain a lot of responsibility, maintain your police certification. So there's going to be an ongoing conversation that's going to be happening in the village of Wellington. And the mayor, Mayor Hans Schneider said, let's keep talking about this. Whether we should hire an early next year, whether there should be a safety service levy, perhaps placed on the ballot. Some of the fire districts in the area, the fire and ambulance districts, use levies to pay for their operations. That wasn't met with an awful lot of excitement by some of the council members, with Councilwoman Helen Johnsfield saying that asking for a levy, quote, just makes me shudder. So there is some concern, and also my colleague Jason Hawk, who wrote the story, quoted a survey by the National Police Foundation showing that 86% of departments across the country are dealing with staff shortages. We talked, I believe it was even last week, about Lorain, the Lorain Police Department, having an issue with wanting to hire more police officers and just not being able to afford it. So they're going to use some American Rescue Plan money. So whether or not that's a possibility for Wellington, time will tell.
Yeah, just interesting stuff following the short staffing, again, not only just with our retail and food industries and businesses and all of that, but with police departments as well, like you've mentioned. And you're right, we did talk about Lorain last week, trying to add some more. And I'm sure, tensions between, police and others at times over the last year and a half, 2 years or so sort of play into maybe some of that short staffing as well. But interesting what Wellington's trying to do to sort of get those numbers up. So Dave O'Brien, our guest here from the Chronicle Telegram on the local beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. Dave, what are you and your colleagues over there at the Chronicle Telegram working on this week as far as upcoming stories go?
Well, as we're talking about Wellington a little bit, Wellington School Board was going to be talking mask mandates.
Uh-oh.
So you can read that story in this morning's Chronicle Telegram. Also, some issues in Oberlin. Oberlin talking about taking ownership of Prospect Elementary School. So we'll see what happens with that. Again, the story by my colleague Jason Hawk. Also talking about a list of road projects in Lorain. So we'll see a story about that in this morning's paper.
There you go. Schools, masked mandates, road projects. It's everything you need to know right there in the Chronicle Telegram. Check them out online as well over there at chronicletea.com for that digital e-edition. All right, Dave, that brings us to the end here. My favorite part of the week. What do you have for me in the way of a scanner story?
Well, again, from Northeast Ohio Scanner on Twitter, we're going Dateline Shaker Heights. A confined space rescue on Park Boulevard. A woman states that she is trapped in her closet.
Oh, well, I will avoid the jokes with that one. But, yeah, a game of hide-and-seek gone wrong, potentially, there. I don't know who's to say, but entertaining nonetheless. Dave, thank you very much for the insight into what's going on in around Lorain County. We'll make sure to keep up with the latest in the Chronicle Telegram and online as well over there at ChronicleT.com. I appreciate the time, as always, man. Thanks again. Look forward to chatting some more next week.
Sounds good, Rocco. Talk to you later.